my freshman year in college, my parents like drove down to college with me. They helped me move all my stuff in, get my room unpacked, and then they left. And so for the first time in my life, I was completely on my own. And so doing what any normal person would do with that freedom, I promptly stayed up till like 4 a.m. playing video games. And then I looked at my roommate and was like, hey, we don't have any food in our room. Let's go grocery shopping. I had never been grocery shopping before. So we went grocery shopping at 4 a.m. You find all kinds of interesting people in Walmart at 4 a.m. if you didn't know that, especially in a college town. But we made a rookie mistake because we had never been grocery shopping before and we went without a list. Had no idea what we were there for. So we were just walking down the aisles like, oh, that looks good. Let's throw it in the cart. And we grabbed like Pop-Tarts and Hot Pockets and ramen noodles and SpaghettiOs and Sunny Delight. I thought that was like orange juice. I thought it was orange juice just in a bigger container and cheaper. Turns out that it is basically the same thing as orange juice. It just tastes like transmission fluid and has no nutritional value. Sunny Delight. And so we like threw that out. So we like get up to the cash register and we ring everything up and realize that we have like 3 times the amount of stuff that we can pay for. So then we had to commence like going and putting stuff back, and then we would come out through the self-checkout again and we were still over. So we like had this thing and it took us like 4 tries to actually get under the amount of cash that we had on us. So then we like headed back and we stayed up the rest of the night eating Hot Pockets and Pop-Tarts. And so then we went through like our freshman orientation welcome week, and they try to teach you how to acclimate to college, and we had no idea how to do it. I bought my books from the bookstore, which is a rookie mistake. No one ever buys their books from the bookstore after their first semester because they realize you're paying 5 times as much as what you could order it for on Amazon, but I didn't know, and so I did that. We got like our schedule for the classes, and so I set out one day to make sure I was ready for my first day of class with the campus map in one hand, my schedule in the other hand, and I was like making notes and like drawing arrows on the campus map so I knew where to go. And so the first day of school starts and I set out with my notebook and my backpack, and then I've got my campus map, and I still ended up in the wrong building and was late for like every class my first day. I had no idea how to like do college. And so in high school, I just kind of coasted through. High school was easy for me, and so I put the same effort into college up until the first exams, and I failed like all of them. It's like, okay, this is not working. I had to relearn how to do everything related to school. If you jump forward to the next year, as a sophomore, I walked back on campus, and all of a sudden, I knew how things worked. I had the grocery list. I knew what I needed to buy. I didn't even look at my schedule until the morning of my first classes, and I just printed it off. I was like, okay, I know where to go, and I didn't have to mess with it. I didn't have to put forth the effort into the classes I did before because I started to learn how everything worked. And so if you wanted to set my freshman year and my sophomore year up against each other, you could say that my freshman year was a year that was marked by confusion, that I didn't know what was going on. And my sophomore year was marked by clarity and by purpose. That as I showed up on campus, I just instinctively knew what to do, and I began to act like a college person should because I'd been there before. You see, the truth is, as you look at God's will for your life, there's going to be a lot of times that finding God's will for your life will look like a freshman year experience. That you're confused and you're just wandering around and you're trying to figure it out, and you stumble and you fall and you just can't find it. And then there's going to be other times that finding God's will seem like a sophomore year experience, where as you show up and as you begin to seek God, you'll have this sense of divine purpose and clarity. And so at times in your life, finding God's will looks like both. When I was in high school, I played basketball. And so I had a little basketball court in my backyard, a little basketball pad, and I would go out there to practice. And so I would practice hitting the game-winning shot or shooting free throws to win the game, but I couldn't do it in silence, so I wanted to like simulate the crowd noise, and so I had this massive boombox radio that I would plug in, and I would just like crank the volume up on that to simulate this crowd noise. And I knew it wasn't a radio like you guys have in your cars where you just like punch the button and it goes to the right place. It had the little analog dials that you had to spin to try to find. I put a picture up here because you guys don't have a clue what I'm talking about. And so that needle covers like 8 stations, and so you just have to keep like tweaking it until you get it right. And what was interesting is I would be out there one day, I want to have it set up right, and then I would get done, I would put it up, and the next day I would set the thing back up again, and I had not touched the dials, but I would plug it in, it would be staticky, and I had to like fiddle with it, I had to spin the dials to get it to be clear again. And that's essentially how God's will works in our life. Tonight we're going to look at three ways that God spins the dials in our life to reveal his will. And what you'll find as you pursue God's will for your life is that sometimes you're going to be perfectly in step with God's will. It's going to be easy to you. There's going to be clarity. And then the next day you wake up and you find that you haven't moved from where you were, but all of a sudden there's confusion, there's static. And through the three things that I want to show you tonight, God will spin the dials to give you that clarity again. And so the first way that God spins the dials in our life is through his word. It's through his word. See, finding the will of God always starts with the Word of God. Did you guys know that the Bible tells you who to marry? Did you know that? Like, when I was in college and you start to think about that, and I was like, you know, who's the person that I'm going to marry someday? I didn't realize that the Bible told me exactly who I was supposed to marry. Now, it doesn't, like, give me a name. It didn't say to marry Beth. But there's some principles in there, and the Bible tells you exactly who you should marry. That you should marry a believer, someone who's pursuing Christ, someone that has the same beliefs that you do. It's all in there. The Bible tells you who to marry. The Bible tells you what to do with your life. And so we come to these moments like, I don't really know what to do with my life. God, why won't you tell me? He does tell you. God tells you in his word what to do with your life. He just doesn't tell you what major to choose or what job to pursue or where to live. But he tells you that you're supposed to be a disciple who makes disciples. He tells you that you're supposed to put him first in everything. He tells you that you're supposed to be a light to the world around you. Like, it's all there. He just doesn't give us those specifics. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18 says this, and if you've got a pen, if you're taking notes, you'll want to jot these down because we're going to be in a lot of different scriptures tonight, so you can go back and look at them later. But 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so we ask, what is God's will? This passage tells us what God's will is. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. So let me just ask, is there anybody that's living outside of the will of God today? You don't have to raise your hands. But as we look at this, we tend to stress over these big picture things in our mind, but we miss some of these simple things in Scripture. It says that we're to rejoice. No matter what's going on around us, we're supposed to be joyful because of the hope that we have in Christ. That's what distinguishes us from the world, that even when we're in difficult circumstances, people can see that we're still joyful. Peter tells us that we should always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that's within us, that people are supposed to notice that. And so are you joyful in everyday life? It says you should pray without ceasing. You should continually be praying. If you look at the Greek of that phrase, it's literally the same phrase that you would use if you're talking about someone that has a hacking cough. And so he's saying pray like you can't stop, right? So a couple weeks ago, I was kind of getting over some allergy stuff, and I had like a cough of death. And it was fine all day. It would just get me when I would lay down at night, and nothing helped. I took like the cough syrup. I did a peppermint. I did that stupid spray that tastes awful that makes you not be able to feel your throat. Like, none of it worked. I would just lay there, and every time I breathed, I started coughing. And so I ended up like sleeping in the recliner so I wouldn't keep Beth up all night. But no matter what I tried to do to stop coughing, I couldn't do it. And that passage is saying you need to pray like that. Pray like no matter what's going on, you couldn't stop even if you wanted to. And then he says, give thanks in all circumstances. Not just good circumstances, but give thanks in all circumstances. Which leads to a really convicting question that God kind of dumped on me yesterday. And so I'm going to share it with you. But yesterday as I was looking at this, what just kind of came to my mind is, have you thanked God for anything today? Besides the food that you ate, or just the day in general. You see, it's very clear in Scripture that these are some things that are God's will, and yet we don't even think about them sometimes. Another one is Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It says, those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. That passage says that God's will for you is that you would look like Jesus. And so there's a natural progression that's supposed to happen in the Christian life. There is a time when you come to know God for the first time that you're saved, and so you know God. And after you know God, you're supposed to move to this place where you enjoy Jesus. You enjoy fellowship with Him. And as you enjoy fellowship with Jesus, as you grow in your walk, you're called to display Jesus. And so we know Jesus, we enjoy Jesus, and then we display Jesus to the world. That's God's will for your life. God's will is that you would look like Christ, that you would walk with Him daily, and that you would make Him known. Another one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 through 8. It says, for this is the will of God. If you're looking for God's will, a passage that starts with this is the will of God is always a good place to start. It says, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each and every one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one transgress or wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all things, as we told you beforehand and we solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. And so you see in that passage that God's will moves from general to very specific. He says, God's will is your sanctification. What does that mean? That's a big word that just means set apart. So God's will is that you would be set apart from the world, and then he goes on and he tells you how to accomplish that. He says, abstain from sexuality. In the culture that Paul was writing to, they were very free with their sexuality. And so for a Christian to abstain from sexual immorality would have set them apart from all of the culture that was around them. And so Paul says, you're to be set apart from the world, and here is exactly how I want you to do that. You know, we justify things in our lives, things sexually or not sexually. It's not just limited to that, but we justify things in our lives. And we can do that. We can play that game. We can make ourselves feel okay about some of the things we do that it's not that big of a deal. But the truth is that this passage says that God's will is for us to look like Christ. And so when we come to a moment, when we come to something in our life, the question is not like, can I get away with this? Is it okay? Like, will God smite me if I do this? That's the wrong question. The right question is this activity that I'm engaging in helping me to look more like Christ to the world? And if the answer is no, then we probably need to re-examine that. So I've had conversations with students in the past because dating is a big one. Dating is a big one that always comes up. Because you've got the Christian guy, the Christian girl that's dating the non-believer, and they try to justify that and make it okay, and they'll say things like, you know, I just feel like, why would God give me these feelings if he didn't want me to do that? Like, I think God wants me to date them to Christ. Maybe they'll come to church because they're dating me. I don't feel like this is wrong. God hasn't convicted me over that. But the truth is, just because you don't feel convicted doesn't mean that the Word of God changed. And it's impossible to reflect Christ in a relationship where one of the people doesn't even know him. And so that's a natural application point for you guys. It's a very common thing with students that you need to be careful of. And one of the things that you'll realize as you try to discern Christ's will is that disobedience to what God has revealed to us in Scripture makes it much more difficult to figure out the things that he hasn't revealed to us. You see, a lot of times we stress about those unrevealed things, like, what major do you want me to choose? Do you want me to get a job during the school year? We obsess about these things, the unrevealed will of God. And yet we ignore the larger issues that he reveals clearly to us in Scripture. And so if you seek God about an issue in your life and you don't feel him answering you, it may be because he's already answered you in his Word. And if you're not following that, why would he speak in a different way? And so it's very important that we look at the Word of God when we try to figure out his will. The second way that God spins the dials in your life is through His Spirit. Romans 8, 9 says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him." And then John 16, 13 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come." And so what those passages are saying, that if you're a believer, God puts His Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, and God will speak to you. He will reveal things to you through the Spirit. Now, of the three things that I'm going to give you to look at, this one is the trickiest, because it's really easy to mistake the voice of the enemy or the voice of my feelings with the voice of God. And so you have to be careful when you do that. A guy told me one time that when he was talking about feelings, he said that feelings are real. They're just not always reliable. And so the way that I feel about something, that's a real feeling, and you can't discount that. But if it doesn't line up with Scripture, we have to realize that our feelings are flawed. They're unreliable to make decisions. And so I want to give you a couple of guidelines for discerning if the voice that you're hearing is the voice of the Spirit of God. And so the first question you need to ask when you think God might be telling you something is this prompting me to obey the will of God? Is what I'm hearing prompting me to obey the Word of God? You see, the Spirit of God will speak to you, and it will give you specific ways to apply His Word. And so, for example, we look at Matthew 28, the Great Commission. It says, "Go and make disciples of all nations," right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we say, okay, we're called to make disciples. That's what that passage calls all of us to do. But as I read that passage and I pray through that passage, God may lay someone on my heart. He may specifically put someone on my heart and my mind that He wants me to apply that passage to, that He wants me to share the gospel with. Jaron might be praying about the same passage, and God's going to lay a different person on his heart. The Spirit is prompting both of us to obey that passage, but He's prompting us to obey it in different ways. And that's how the Spirit works. It gives us specific ways to apply the Scriptures. And so the second question is it prompting you to contradict the Word of God? Is the Spirit prompting you to contradict the Word of God? Because the Spirit of God will never do that. And so if you read something in Scripture and then you feel that God is telling you to do something contrary to Scripture, that's not the Spirit of God. It might be your feelings, it might be Satan attacking you, but the Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word. And then the third thing is is that the Spirit will convict you of specific ways that you're outside of the will of God. And so if you hear a sermon and you just kind of feel like crap afterwards and you can't really put a finger on it, you just kind of feel depressed and lethargic, that's probably not the Spirit of God convicting you. That might be some chemical imbalances. You might have just had a bad day. Maybe you forgot to eat breakfast. It might be a lot of different things. Maybe something just went wrong and it's bothering you. But the Spirit of God doesn't work that way. He will specifically convict you of things. He's not just going to make you feel like crap for fun. Like, He will speak clearly into your life and say, "You're out of the will of God in this area. You're sinning in this way. You need to fix that. You need to repent of that." See, God's a God of clarity. He's not a God of confusion. His goal is not to try to confuse you. His goal is for you to become more like Christ. And so He's going to help you do that by speaking to you specifically about how to do it. And then the third way that God spins the dials in your life is through His people. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where there's no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety." Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." Proverbs 24:6 says, "For by wise guidance, you can wage a war, but in an abundance of counselors, there's victory." And I could continue to read a lot of passages from Proverbs that talk about this idea, but I think you get the point. You need godly people in your life. You need godly influences in your life. And so I have a rule for myself that I will never make a big decision in isolation. I won't do it. Because when I make a decision by myself, I'm allowing for my own feelings, my own thoughts to impact that decision. And maybe I mistake that for the voice of God and I just launch out and do that when it's clear to other people, hey, he shouldn't have done that. And so a lot of you guys might not know this, but I have a youth leadership team that Craig and Sean and Tara and Haley are on. And we meet together about every 2 months. And in those meetings, we look at the ministry. We evaluate events that we've done. We plan things. We look at my preaching calendar. I say, hey, I think I'm headed this direction for a series. What do you think? They looked over my budget. They aid me in all of those areas of ministry because I don't want to make those decisions by myself. Because if I set myself up in isolation, making decisions by myself, I'm going to make wrong decisions. But if it's a group of five of us making that decision, it doesn't mean that we'll always get it right, but there's a lot greater chance that we will. And you guys need that in your life. You need people that can call you out on things. You need people that will speak truth into your life even when it's difficult. And so another rule that I have for myself is that I never go against the wisdom of two or more people who love God, who love his word, and who love me. I just don't do it. If I tell somebody, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, and they disagree with me, okay, I'm probably still going to trump them maybe because it's a one-on-one thing, and I'm just going to say, I think I know what's best. But when I get a second person telling me, no, you really need to rethink that, I stop and I check myself on that. Because the fact that there's two people who are believers, two people who are following Christ telling me in light of his word, I don't think you should do this. You need to take that very seriously. And so there was a prophet in 2007 named Akon who wrote a song that said, nobody want to see us together, but it don't matter because I've got you. No. Terrible idea, right? If nobody wants to see you make a decision, if none of your friends want to see you date this person, if none of your friends want to see you go drive 120 miles an hour down the highway, there's probably a good reason for that. If everybody around you thinks it's a bad idea, and they're believers, because sometimes some of the things that we do don't make sense to non-believers. But if there are believers around you telling you this is a bad idea, you need to step back and you need to look at that. Because God will often reveal himself through the wisdom of other people. And so as we wrap up tonight, I just want to say that your view of God determines your response to God. And so as I said at the beginning that we were going to talk about God's will, some of you were really excited to dive into this. Some of you are taking notes, whether it be on a phone, a notepad. Some of you are trying to remember these things because you're tuned in and you really want to know, what is God's will for my life? You're concerned about that. And as you make decisions, you're thinking through, what would God have me do? And you're locked into that. Some of you aren't as locked in. Some of you aren't that interested. And maybe it's not even the topic of God's will, but some of you just, you're here on Wednesday nights, you're at church on Sundays, but you don't really engage because the truth is, it's not that important to you. Some of you, if you drill down into that, the reason you're scared of God's will is because you feel like he's going to mess up your life. You say, I've got this plan for my life. If I submit to God's will, he's going to ruin my life. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. You see, as a believer, God is our Father in heaven, and he's a loving Father. And his plans for us, his will for us is good. His will for us is acceptable, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. And as you follow Christ's will for your life may turn out differently than you envisioned. But I can promise you that as you walk down that road with him, that the path that he had for you is better. Some of you may not even know Christ. Even if you don't know Christ, even if you don't have a relationship with Christ, he still has a will for your life. He still has a plan for your life. But step one of that plan is that you would come to know him. And so maybe that's his will for you tonight. And so I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to go to small groups. And as we do that, we're going to talk about how we can apply this, how we can use these steps to determine God's will. But if that's you, that you say, I don't know, maybe I don't have a relationship with Christ, or maybe you know that you don't, I would love for you to come and talk to me. I'm going to be hanging out back in the sound booth, and I would love to talk with you about that decision more. If you don't feel comfortable coming and talking to me by yourself, bring somebody with you. If you would rather talk to your small group leader than me, that's awesome. That's what they're there for too, and they would love to talk with you. But I would encourage you not to leave tonight without knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt where you stand with Christ. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for your word, God, and I thank you for the fact that you have a will for our life that is good, that's pleasing, and that's perfect. Father, I pray that you would help us collectively as a body of Christ to pursue you daily. I pray that you would help us individually in our schools and our jobs to pursue you and your will. Father, I pray that you would give us peace and clarity when it comes to your will, that we wouldn't feel so uncertain, but that as we live according to the principles in your word, that you would bring that alive for us, and that we would just begin to naturally flow into the center of your will. I pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, God, I pray that you would speak to their hearts, and I pray that they would come to know you tonight. Amen.